Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Here's what the Bible says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If you listen to the news in any form this week, either on the television or on the radio or some other form of social media, you realize that this week we said goodbye to our 41st president. If you watched any of the coverage, you probably heard different people that remembered President Bush. They spoke about him, and in many cases, they spoke to him as they shared a memory. They talked about the kind of person that he was. They talked about the advice that he had given them. Some of them talked about the wisdom that he had shared with them. Now, using the events of this week as the backdrop for my message, I want to start by just asking you some questions. And sometimes I ask you questions I don't want you to respond. These are questions I do want you to respond. I want you to respond by lifting your hand to these questions. How many of you have a father or a grandfather in heaven this morning? Just go ahead and lift your hand. Okay, good. Put your hand down. How many of you have a mother or a grandmother in heaven this morning? Go ahead and lift your hand. Okay, go ahead and put your hand down. How many of you have a loved one other than a parent or a grandparent, like a brother or sister, aunt or uncle, somebody like that in heaven this morning? Okay, all right, go ahead and put your hands down. How many of you have somebody that's not a relative that you have known that's in heaven this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, now, if you raised your hand, I want to speak to you this morning. Okay, and I think everybody raised their hand on one of those questions. We read from Hebrews chapter 12. Most of you know that in Hebrews chapter 11, God mentions some people who think of as in the hall of fame of faith. Okay, different people that exhibited a lot of faith as they lived their lives for God. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, I won't take the time to read any of it, but I'll just mention the people who are listed there. Abel is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. They're all mentioned, and a little bit of their story is told in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 starts out with the word, wherefore. Wherefore. And anytime you see that word, you need to go back and look at what's before it, because it's going to say something after it that refers back to something that was said before it. And so it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That cloud of witnesses that compassed us about are comprised of the people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. And so all those people I mentioned sort of sit in the grandstands of heaven and are a witness to what's going on here on earth, okay? And again, let me just point out to you, there's a difference between a witness and a spectator. A spectator is somebody that may sit in the stands who has never played the game, who doesn't really know what it is to compete in the particular contest they're watching, and for the most part, doesn't really care how the contest comes out. That's a spectator. Many of us have been spectators at sporting events that we've never played the sport, and if the truth be known, we really don't care how it comes out because we really don't know much about the game that we're going to see. But a witness is somebody different. A witness is somebody that sits in the stands and watches, having had played the same game, knows what it takes to play that game and is very concerned about how it comes out. And so every one of those people that are mentioned, Hebrews 12 is talking about living the Christian life. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, is talking about running the race that God's given us to run as a Christian, wrestling, the wrestling match that God's given us to fight as a Christian. And so as we do that, verse 1 says that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And so as I live my Christian life, as you live your Christian life, Enoch is there. And Noah is there, and Abraham is there, and all the people that are mentioned in chapter 11 set in the stands, and they compass us about this great cloud of witnesses. They have played in the same game. They have lived the life that we're trying to live today. They face the same kind of trials and heartaches in their life that we face today. We can use them as an example of how we ought to have more faith as we run that race. And so if all those people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 set in the grandstands of heaven and are witnesses to us trying to live the Christian life, then it's not much of a stretch for me to think that my dad, who's in heaven this morning, sits in that same grandstand. That my mom, who's in heaven this morning, sits in that same grandstand. That my grandparents, three of the four that I know for sure, I'm not sure about the fourth one, I pray that he got saved before he died, but I know three of the four are in heaven this morning. It's not much of a stretch for me to think that they sat there with Abel and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob in the grandstands of heaven and are part of that great clouds of witnesses that have played the game, tried to live the Christian life, knows the hardships that come with doing that, and are concerned about how my game comes out. Now, if that's true for me, it's also true for you. Everyone that raised your hand a moment ago that says you have a mom or a dad or a grandpa or grandma or some other relative or somebody else that you know in heaven, it's not much of a stretch for me to think that they sit in those same grandstands. That they are part of that great cloud of witnesses, and they're in heaven because they played the same game. They tried to live the Christian life. They tried to do what God told them to do. And so they know what it's all about. And so I don't know if they cheer in heaven. I don't know if they root in heaven. And by the way, I know there's no tears in heaven. And so I don't know how God does it. I don't know if he filters out the times we fail. I don't know if he filters out the times we fall. But I believe that they're part of that great clouds of witnesses that see what goes on down here and are rooting for us and are cheering for us and are encouraging us to live the life that God wants us to live. And as we think about that, it gives us another reason to do what those verses say. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, but when we realize that all the saints of God are watching us, all the saints of God are cheering us on, are encouraging us on, it's another reason for us to lay aside the weights and the sins and keep running the race that God has given us to run. Now, that would make a good message, good sermon. But that's not my sermon this morning. Amen. That we should run the race because our parents and our grandparents and our loved ones are looking. My sermon this morning goes along with the events of the week. Don't forget the dead. Don't forget the dead. Listen, when somebody's alive that we love, we do our best to stay in contact with them. I mean, when my parents were alive, I would try to see them once a week, and I did the last 2 years of my mom and dad's life. I got to go down and help take care of them every week. I tried to call every day. When my grandparents were alive, I did the same thing. I'd try to go see them. Of course, I loved my grandma's cooking, so it was extra incentive to go see them. But I'd go see them once a week. I would call them two or three times a week. And people that we love, we stay in contact with. We visit, we call. Now, I don't know if my if my grandmothers live long enough, I don't know if they would be in the texting and all that other stuff. I don't think so. But I know there's grandmas in the room this morning are very involved in that. Good for you. That's a good way to stay in contact. And by the way, it's not part of my message. I'm going to throw it in anyway. If you're a son or you're a daughter and you're a grandkid and you still have parents or grandparents alive, if you don't stay in contact with them, shame on you. Shame on you. They're your mom and dad. They're your grandpa and grandma. You ought to call them. You ought to visit them. You ought to stay in contact. And I know some people say, oh, you don't know my grandpa. He is a terror. He's a terror. He yells and his teeth comes out. And he spits. Hey, my grandma chewed tobacco. Not her whole life, but I can remember when I was a younger kid, I asked my dad, what's that gold pot over there? He said, go ask your grandma. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they may have some bad habits. They're still your mom and dad. They're still your grandpa and grandma. You're not going to have them forever. There will come a day where you'll regret not talking to them, not visiting them, not staying in contact with them. So you ought to do it while you still have them. And we do that when they're alive. And then they die. They go to heaven. And for a while, we think about them. For a while, we still talk about them. For a while, we remember the different things that they have taught us and they have said to us. But after a while, they slip deeper and deeper into our memory. And we bring them up once in a while, but most of the time, if we're honest, we don't think about them. Now, I want to share a truth with you this morning. Your dad, who is in heaven, is not dead. Your mom, who is in heaven, is not dead. Your grandpa or your grandma, who's in heaven, is not dead. Your loved one, who's in heaven, is not dead. That friend or acquaintance you had that's in heaven this morning is not dead. Their body is. Their body lies in a grave and it's decaying, it's rotting. But the person you know, the person you love, the person who loved you, the person that you called, the person that you visited, the person that you wrote to is not dead. They sat in that great cloud of witnesses in the grandstands of heaven. They cheer, they root, they encourage us to lay aside the weight, lay aside the sin, and run with patience the race that God has set before us. So if that's true, if they're not dead, why shouldn't I do as many others did this week when it comes to President Bush? Why shouldn't I every now and then still talk to my dad? Why shouldn't every now and then I still talk to my mom? Why shouldn't every now and then I talk to my grandpa and my grandma, my aunt, my uncle, and those that I know that is in heaven? Why shouldn't I every now and then write them a little note? I used to write my mom notes. I used to write my grandmother's notes. I didn't write my grandpa's notes. I didn't think it was manly to write your grandpa's notes. But I used to write my mom and my grandmother notes. And every one of those notes, I told them that I loved them. I told them that I appreciated them. I appreciated everything they taught me. I appreciated how they put God into my life. I appreciated everything, that the way they lived their life, the example they set. And I used to write them notes. What would be wrong with me doing the same thing today? Now, wouldn't cost me any postage. Huh? I could write that note and leave it somewhere. And let them see that I'm still thinking about them, that they're still in my heart and in my mind. Many of you have heard about John Wooden. He was a famous basketball coach. Some think the greatest basketball coach that ever lived. He was over 90 years old when he died. He and his wife had been married for 60 years, over 60 years. Every morning after his wife died, he wrote a note to her and put on her pillow. In that note, he told her that he loved her. He told her that he missed her. And he told her that he was looking forward to seeing her again in heaven. Now, I know some of you are saying, "Preacher, this is one of the weirdest sermons I've ever heard you preach. And you're crazy. You're just crazy. Why would I write my dead mother, my dead father, my dead grandparent a note? Why would I talk to them? Why would I do any of that?" Because they're not dead. They're still alive. They sit in the grandstands of heaven. They cheer us on. They root us on. They encourage us on. John Wooden wasn't crazy. I know people say, "Well, why didn't he just give her up? She was gone. Why didn't he just move on with his life?" Well, you can move on with your life and not forget the dead. You can move on with your life and not forget those that you love. You can move on and not forget those that had an impact in your life. I mean, people did it today. People did it this week. We watched them on TV and we thought they were doing a great thing. You did the same thing after your loved one died, immediately after they died. I'm sure many of you talked to them. I'm sure many of you thought about them continually after they went to heaven. Well, I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with doing that as the years go by. There's nothing wrong with doing that after they've been in heaven for a while. I did that when they were alive. I told them how much I loved them, how much I appreciated them, and everything that they meant to me. Why shouldn't I continue to do that? And why shouldn't I continue to listen to them? Now, lest you think I'm really weird, I'm not talking about these people that get out their Ouija boards. I'm not talking about people that go to seances and, you know, pay these people that are fakes, you know, to help you hear from the dead. What I'm talking about is remembering, like people did this week, remembering what your dad taught you, what your mom taught you, what your grandpa and grandma taught you, what your aunt, uncle, brothers or sisters, whoever you got in heaven, what they taught you about how to live life. Amen. You know what I hear when I listen this morning? I hear two things. I hear, first of all, that everybody ought to get saved. My grandmothers drilled into me from the time that I could understand that I was a sinner and that I was on my way to hell, and the only hope that I had was to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I go over to my grandma's, and I've told you before, her finger was bent like this. And she'd take that finger and she would put it right in my face, just like this. And she says, "Daryl, you're a sinner." She'd quote me scripture. She'd say, "Hey, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." "That's you," she would say. She'd shake that finger. "That's you. You're a sinner." That's what I hear when I think about my grandma. She says, "You're going to hell." You know, you have a loving grandma who you think loves you. And every time you see her, every time, till I got saved. If I didn't get saved for any other reason, I got saved so my grandma would tell me I'd go to hell. But every time before I got saved, she'd put that bony, crooked finger in my face and say, "You're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. The wages of sin is death." That's what I hear this morning when I think about what she taught me. Amen. And then I remember, she said, "Jesus loves you." She's the one that would sing, they both were. They were the ones that sang that little song to me, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you." And I want to tell you this morning, this is what I hear when I don't forget the dead. I hear grandmas and moms and dads telling me, "You got a God that loves you.
He loves you so much, that he gave his only son to die for your sins.
Amen.
That's what I hear. I hear about the love of God who sent his only begotten son to a cross, who while on that cross took all of my sins, all of my iniquities, all of my shortcomings, all the times that I missed the mark, took them on himself and paid the price.
Amen.
Paid the price, not only for my sins, but for your sins and for the sins of every person that's ever lived. Oh, how God loved us to send his only son to die in our place. And then I remember my grandma telling me, said the only way you can escape hell is to receive Christ. It's the only way. You can't get to heaven any other way. You can't be good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't even get baptized. You can't take the Lord's Supper. None of that. All that stuff is good after you get saved. But none of it will get you into heaven, because it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I remember the night that I got saved. We're having a revival. My grandma usually went to the revival, but she wasn't there that night for some reason. I went home after church that night. I called her on the phone. I said, "Grandma, you never guess what happened tonight." She says, "What?" I said, "Your sinner of a grandson who was on his way to hell got saved, and he's on his way to heaven." And even though my grandma was a good staunch Baptist, she became a Pentecostal that night. She dropped the phone. I could hear her shouting, and I could hear her dancing. And I got to tell my grandma that everything that she invested in me paid off. Because I realized I was a sinner, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. You know, the Bible says there's joy in heaven over one sinner that got saved. I don't know how it's changed since she got there, but I know a lot of her great-grandchildren have made that same decision. And if her reaction on earth was any example of what goes on in heaven, then there's a bunch of Pentecostals in heaven. I hear something else quickly. Quickly, I hear a second thing, and that's keep on going. Keep on going. From this great cloud of witnesses that encompass us, from those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, from those that we know who have gone on before us, I hear them say, keep on going. It's not as bad as it seems. It gets better at the end. So even though there's heartaches, and even though there's trials, and even though there's things that happen in our life that we can't understand, that we wouldn't choose if we got to choose, just keep on going. Keep pressing on the upward way. Keep gaining new heights every day. Keep praying as you are onward bound. Keep asking the Lord to plant your feet on higher ground. Let me ask you this morning, as you think about perhaps a mom or dad or a grandpa or grandma, some other relative that's gone to heaven, or friend, acquaintance that's gone to heaven, as you think about them, what do you hear? What do you hear? What did they teach you? What did they impress in your heart? What a blessing we miss. What an encouragement we miss when we forget the dead, when we forget those that have impacted our life so immensely and so richly. And so my message this morning is simple. Don't forget the dead. Don't forget them. They are responsible for how you are living your life. You may not think about them. You may not give them credit. But the advice they gave, the wisdom that they shared, has impacted your life. Listen to them once again. The Bible says, there's a verse in the Bible that says, Abel, though he's dead, yet speaketh. I think that same verse can be said about every saint that's listed in the Old Testament. I think it could be said about every saint that we have known personally that's gone to heaven. They, being dead, yet speaketh if we don't forget them and we remember what they told us while they were alive. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for telling us about that great cloud of witnesses that encompasses us. And I pray, Father, that we would not forget those who have gone before us. That we'd talk to them. We'd tell them again how much we love them. Tell them again how much we miss them. We tell them again how much we're looking forward to seeing them when we leave this earth and we get to go to heaven. And I pray, Father, we would remember the impact they had in our life. We would remember what they taught us. We would remember the principles and the wisdom they passed down to us. And they being dead, yet they speak to us today. Help us to listen. Father, I pray for those that might be here that don't know Christ. If I could, I would look them in the face and tell them the same thing that my grandmother told me. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God. And there's nothing that you can do to fix that. But what you couldn't do, God did for you. He sent Jesus to take your place, to pay for your sin. And he paid for every one of them. And if you trust him this morning, if you'd receive that payment that he made for your sin, he'll forgive you, save you from that penalty. You can become a child of God by trusting Christ. If there's one or two or, Father, however many that are here this morning that's never done that, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would shake your finger in their face, show them their sin, show them the penalty for that sin, but then show them the Savior who died for them. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, help us to keep on keeping on. What a testimony we have from the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11 and from those that have gone before us. What a testimony we have of their faithfulness. Help us to learn from their example. Help us to take encouragement from their example and have that same faithfulness as we strive to live for you. I pray that you bless this invitation. I pray you speak to people's hearts. I pray you help us be obedient. As you lead and direct us, help us to do what you say. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.